What's up out there, crew? Welcome to a special edition of the Next Generation podcast. It is, October 16th, I believe, 2019. Yes, it is the 16th. Awesome. So hopefully this is broadcasting. Let me know out there in the chat on the YouTube sides if it is. But yeah, welcome. I want to say that the previous podcast, I guess, the season two of the Next Generation show, this is going to be way different than that. That is, we do those every year, and we do a season of those that ended last week or a couple weeks, I guess, with Roe Reynolds. But we talked to present and former shooting sports people, youth shooting sports people, all of that good kind of stuff, kind of highlight the kiddos and what they're doing in shooting sports and that sort of stuff. So that season two has ended, but you can always watch that in replay. So I want to invite everybody out there, if you haven't caught those, you want some inspiration, some real inspiration, not just the Tide Pods and the other weird stuff that kiddos seem to be doing nowadays, then definitely check out that. I think that's a more realistic idea of what our youth out there is like. So we've got a great panel tonight. Going to get into hopefully some deep discussion. Hopefully be able to motivate people out there to get out in their communities and volunteer. Everybody that I'm going to have on the panel does pretty much the same thing. We all work in some way, shape, form, or fashion with youth and youth education. Some of it is more firearm related than others. Some of it is more competition related than others. Some of it is more straight up family oriented than others. But there's a lot of different things that we can do when it comes to reaching out to the youth and being able to bring them up and turn them into productive citizens and good people and just well-rounded individuals. So with that said, I do want to let everybody know in the live chat, we'll be taking questions. So throw those into the live chat there on YouTube. If you're in replay, if you're not catching this live, I understand, because people sometimes have jobs and other things going on. By all means, there's going to be comments below wherever you're listening to this or watching this. Throw those comments below if you have it for a question for a particular panelist, whatever it might be. Then put that below. I'll make sure to forward that to them, get that to them, get those questions answered for you, whatever we need to do. The whole point with this particular special is, of course, education. I want to introduce everybody on the panel. First off, I want to mention KD, Kevin Dixie. Hopefully he will be in a little bit, unless he's gotten tied up, which can happen. When he jumps in, we'll kind of throw him in the fire and let him get caught up. But for now, we've got Derek LeBlanc from Kids Safe Foundation. How are you, Derek?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Great to have you here. And we have the Pew Pew Jew, Mr. Yehuda Reamer. What is up, bro?
All good. How are you?
I am well. And from Skip's Tactical Solutions. And I just want to cut it off a lot of times. I just want to say Skip's Tactical most of the time. I forget the solutions, but it is Skip's Tactical Solutions. We have Miss Avery, or as we all call her, Skip. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. So let's dive in. I don't want to run this terribly long, because if we run long podcasts, typically we lose attention. People have short attention spans nowadays for whatever reason. Squirrel. And so we'll jump on in, dive on in here. And the first thing that I kind of want to run through the panel, because I have my opinions. I alluded to that a little bit talking about my Next Generation podcast series here on the channel. But I want to kind of talk about the state of the youth in this country, and from each of our individual perspectives with our programs and dealing with particular demographics of youth and that sort of thing, what we think that state is. Does it look good for the future? Are we inspired? Are we motivated? Are we hopeful for the future? Or is it the situation to where, the stuff we see with some of these weird challenges that goes on and kids seemingly begging government to take their rights away and things like that. Is that actually the norm of the day, or do you think that is maybe the outliers? I'm going to start with Skip and bring you in on this one first, Skip. What is your thoughts when you think about our future and in relation to youth and those kids that are going to be taking care of us and being our leaders in the future?
I personally think that there's a lot of misconceptions that are out there. And if we don't get out there and properly educate our youth, then they're going to have some of these isms that are not necessarily true that they're going to grow up with, and they're going to be pushing that agenda. And I feel like it's going to lead us down a wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the kids that you see coming through your program, they generally come in when in a family environment, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And do they seem to be well-rounded, well-adjusted kiddos for the most part?
Oh, yeah. A lot of it is parents who have made the decision to get their kids trained. What I also see at times is whenever I go into the schools and talk to the kids, I'll hear kids talking about things that may not necessarily be true. And so I will try to clear up as much as I can while being PC about it. But some of the things that they're talking about, and I think it's with all kids, you know, when they're around other people, they're like, oh my God, guess what I saw? Or, you know, my mom or my dad said this. So sometimes it's, we just need to get out there and we need to talk to them and see what's really on their mind. Because even with my kids, some of their friends are like, oh my God, I would love to go to the range and have your mom teach me. But then their parents are like, no, be quiet.
Right. So looks like Mr. KD has jumped in. Are you there, KD?
Yeah. Can you guys see me?
Can't see you, but we can hear you.
Okay. I don't know why you can't. Yeah. This.
You got a little button somewhere that has a camera on it, by any chance?
Yep. There we go. Hold on. Start cam. Is that it? Yep. Yeah. Boom. All right.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, oh. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Shut up.
So thanks for jumping in, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Sorry. This ad blocker didn't like this StreamYard.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good feedback. So there are several things going on with this StreamYard that's kind of quirky. So, yeah, I'll definitely note that. People need to know that. Yeah, you're not that late. We kind of just kicked it off here. I do want to address something out there in the chat right off the bat, because I did not misspeak. That ain't what I wanted to address. So let's get that out of the way. Calaveras says representatives, please don't call them our leaders because they work for us and not the other way around. Okay. I want to clarify what I meant when I was talking about our youth and them being our future leaders. I'm talking about in the communities. I'm not talking about in government. I'm talking about the people that are going to be the local business owners and the local chamber of commerce people and maybe running local charities and doing the kind of work we're all doing on this panel and a lot of folks out there in the chat. That's what I mean by our leaders of the future. I don't mean from a political standpoint. So certainly wanted to clear that up. Derek, I'm going to come with you and I'm going to give you the same question. When the topic of youth comes up and the topic of maybe millennials even in a sense, but typically when I'm talking youth, I'm talking about younger than that. I'm talking junior high, maybe high school age, mm-hmm. And definitely younger. What are you seeing out there? Are you seeing positivity, a positive outlook for the future?
I think it's in pockets. Obviously, being from Oregon, very left of center, and so it depends on where I'm at in the state. Obviously, there's rural pockets where there's lots of kids that are engaged, but one of the biggest challenges, obviously, with urban communities, in the metropolitan areas, that's going to be harder. And it comes down to the way you're able to present that message where it resonates with those families and gets them to want to get involved with the shooting sports.
Okay. Katie, I'm gonna kick it down to you and same question that from your perspective, what is the outlook that you're seeing with youth in this country?
In relation to firearms, correct?
In general, I mean, this is not just a firearm related chat. I mean, a lot of things. I mean, the way I understand it, we'll get into the individual programs for all of us in a minute, but for the most part, I mean, firearms is tends to be for me, but it's a bait, right? I mean, it's something that gets them in. And then, from there we teach discipline and confidence and a lot of other things that makes them well-rounded individuals. So are you seeing the problems, I guess, to make it a more pointed question, are you seeing when we have people that talk about, all these kids are just Tide Pod eaters, for example, or something like that, is that a truthful statement anyway? Do you see that in society nowadays that kids are that way, or do you think they're a little more well-rounded and a little more in tune with what's going on than what we give them credit?
I think that children, depending on what age group you're talking about. So I'll start up and go down, right? So if we're talking teenagers, let's say that. If we're talking teenagers, then we're talking about a lot of young minds that are fairly intelligent, but they have an overload of information coming their way. You know, we weren't blessed with as much information, and we didn't have to process as much information as they do. We didn't have the world on our cell phones. You know, it was a lot different. We weren't indoctrinated with this opinion and that opinion and influences. Influences are heavy enough when you're just going to school, talking on an analog phone and dealing with your neighbors. Now, all of a sudden, the world is in the palm of your hands every day. So that can be a little complex. Especially when you have political influences that come in that confuse most adults, and now they're playing on the minds of kids, and it can lead them to be in the forefront of a mission they don't completely understand. And I think that adults that disagree with the kids aren't giving enough of the grief to the adults that are pulling their strings, and thus you get things like Tide Pod Eaters, you know, and stuff like that, because they go to straight insulting the kids. Well, one thing I try to encourage adults to think about is when you insult a child, just like when children insult children, thinking about teenagers, you put them on a defensive. They don't even care at that point what you're saying. Now you're just my enemy. As silly as it is, now you're my enemy. So we'll call each other names back and forth and whatever. I'm not listening to you. But I don't think that those teenagers, although they have the right to have an opinion, I just wish they had a more informed opinion. But although they have the right to have an opinion about whatever they want to talk about, they are allowed to do so. And I think as adults, we should listen to them and listen to them carefully. They don't make decisions. And that's where you have to put your foot down. They don't make decisions. I'm not going to allow an 18-year-old to make a decision about my life. Not going to happen.
Right.
When it comes to our younger children, I always go to the babies, really, you know, the 6 and 10-year-olds and stuff like that. Those kids, I think, are in need, and all of them, actually, I'm sorry, I will say all the children are in need of more more adulting and more adult influence. And I think that guns aside and everything else aside, we need to really focus on what kids are experiencing, what they're going through, and taking on the responsibility that we all as adults should take on and help develop them and coach them through that. I think we miss the fact that, you know, we were all young and, you know, somebody told you in one way or another, hey, one day you're going to rule the world, right? Like, you had somebody tell you that. Well, guess what? That's now. Like, you rule the world, whether you know it or not. You are the leading class, right? So we have to take that responsibility to make sure we're positively molding the younger kids and bringing them up in the right way. And so I think that they're actually lost out there floating in the world. You look at the amount of kids that are in single-parent households around this country. You look at the amount of kids that are living in poor conditions. And poor is just not economic. Poor can be poor mental stability at home. It could be a great, beautiful $400,000 house, but a lot of abuse inside the home. It can be a lot of different things. You look at the way that drugs are rampant, and peer pressure is even more imperative now. So we have to take all those things into account and make sure we're developing these kids from a young age and doing what leaders should do, which is help mold the youth. So I think they're in a very interesting position, but we also need to put that on our shoulders as the adults. We are strong enough and we are smart enough to help guide them through, and we should take on that responsibility.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. Yehuda, I hate for you to have to follow that, but I did do that on purpose. I'm picking on you. But want to get your take on it. So I'll let you jump in on this with future generations. And what do you think the state of the youth is as far as that goes?
So, I mean, I'll just say KD basically summed up everything I believe in. But I think there's one thing KD, I think, will agree with me that he didn't say is, yes, you have a lot of these families who are single parent homes. I understand, you know, like I said, I agree with KD. Unfortunately, you have a lot of kids coming from a mother father home where the mother and father are completely absentee parents.
Yes.
They are not there. Their kids do not come first. Now, I'm not saying, look, I'm married. I'm not saying you and your wife cannot have, you know, a getaway and go away. But when you come home from work, your kids need to be first and foremost. That means if your kid is having trouble with school, you sit down with them no matter how much you want to watch that football game. You sit down with your kids and you do homework with them to make sure that they know that you care about them, you love them, and that you want the best for them. I read a chapter, no matter how long that chapter is, with my 7-year-old daughter every night. climb into bed with her and I read her a book. There are so many parents out there who are literally the minute your kid comes home, it's either the nanny watches you or the nanny takes you to school, the nanny picks you up. Kids do not have any, one thing is they definitely don't have any, respect for adults nowadays and authority because, well, why would they? There is no authority in their life. There is no one putting them in their place saying, no, like KD said, you're 18. You are not going to make a decision that's going to affect my life. I'm going to make a decision that will affect your life. And I think right there, if you can start making parents get more involved with their child's everyday activities, I think you can see a really drastic turn for the better in this country. If not, you know, you're going to have just it's going to keep going spiraling down.
Yeah. And that's great points all the way around for out there in the chat. Remember, I mean, we can take questions, so throw them in the chat and we'll definitely put those in. Was somebody wanting to speak up just now? Okay.
Well, I think one thing I wanted to address is KD kind of mentioned about as those leaders is we have to learn how to communicate. We have to learn how to communicate effectively with the other side, also with our children. And it doesn't mean we bully them. It means we prop them up, build them up, because those are going to be our future leaders. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that's, I would kind of piggyback that with what KD said earlier.
Right. And I think it's important too, that, you know, everything that's been talked about is spot on, but I think it's important too, that, you know, we walk the walk. I mean, we lead by example. I think that that's very important. You know, we're people of principle, honest people, good-hearted people, charitable people. You know, I think the next generation, I think the kids coming up in our communities, obviously in our families, but in the neighborhoods, in the communities, they see that. And that type of thing, it resonates. And you don't want to get pinned down as the weirdo guy that is, you know, shut up in his house all the time. And, you know, you only see him taking firearms back and forth to the car to go to the range or, you know, some weird thing like that. He hangs out by himself. Get out into the communities and interact with those youth. If you've got children, that's great. That's a prime opportunity to, you know, have those play dates or school events or whatever it might be. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. You don't want to overstep bounds, obviously, with other parents and things like that. But it does give you the opportunity to communicate with other parents. And maybe there's things that you went through with your children that, you know, maybe it was a behavioral issue or behavioral phase. Maybe it was something to do with school and grades or something like that. And maybe that other child in the neighborhood or the community, you know, the parent has expressed concern. And so, yeah, I think there definitely needs to be that element of involved parenting that's been lacking for some time, I think, in our society, but also that communication, not just with the children, but with other adults and parents as well, to say, hey, we've been through this, right? You're not going through this alone. This is something that we went through that, hey, this may not work with you, but this is the way we handled it in our household or our family. Go ahead. Somebody raise their hand.
Yeah, so I wanted to add to that. I think what you just said is also spot on, and I've had those conversations with people here recently, whether it's behavior, whether it's relationships. I think not enough people are talking about the hard times, so that when we experience those hard times, we think that we're alone. But when our reality, everybody goes through those hard times, whether it's with your marriage, with your children, or with work. And that's when we tend to get depressed, because we think, oh, that only applies to me, or I'm going through this. But when we start to normalize these things, then we can also share our coping mechanisms and help other people get through them. And they can see, okay, well, she went through this or he went through this, so this is normal and we'll get through it. Like, no one really talks about teenage years, although we've all been through them. You know, I have a 13-year-old and I'm like, oh my God, no one's talked about this, you know. But it's one of those things to where you have to get out in your community and talk to people, because you can even help each other. Like, the next person may have an amazing skill that you don't even necessarily have to pay for. you guys can just help each other.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to actually just continue what Skip was saying, which I agree completely. Like you said, you had a 13-year-old, right? And she's a teenager now, and you're like, that's crazy. Well, unfortunately, going back to what I was saying about parents being parents, a lot of these kids are being stuck in front of TVs, and as a teenager, what are they watching? They're watching, what's that show called? I'm a Teen Pregnant Mother on MTV. I don't even know what the show's called.
Any of them nowadays. Yeah. It really doesn't matter what it is, I don't think, right, anymore.
And that's where they're like, oh, well, that's the norm. And you have, like, again, the absentee parents who aren't there. So where do you think they're getting their so-called education from? Mm-hmm. So like I said, you know, I agree with Skip completely about that.
Well, and having a, you know, this is a great panel because we really are coast to coast here on this panel. So I want to kind of run this through and get everybody's take on this. But one thing that aggravates me with here in Texas, with the public schools anyway, is that there's a lot of memorization that goes on in school. There's a lot of pushing kids to read. We've got this thing called the AR. I think it's called, it doesn't mean, you know, what you think it means, the AR program. I wish it did. That would be a cool program, the AR program in school. But no, it's an AR reading program. And it's read, 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 and not read to absorb, but read just to finish the book to get credit, right? And then pushing these tests, these standardized tests, where all they're doing is teaching kids to memorize things to be able to pass the test, which is quite ridiculous. And they're not hitting on things like, oh goodness, with high school, I mean, marketable skills is a big thing. I mean, what happened to shop classes and home ec classes and other things that's a marketable skill that the kids are learning. But even at younger ages, there's not a lot of critical thinking going on. There's not a lot of teaching kids to ask why. I don't think anybody on the panel has a problem with their child or, you know, a kid in the neighborhood asking why on something. That's a legitimate question in a lot of cases. Sometimes it's attitude, I get it. But a lot of times it's a legitimate question. I had a couple of girls and they asked why all the time. And it was a legit thing. Why is the sky blue? Why does a airplane not fall out of the sky? Just things like that. And so I think we have to be understanding with that. And I think that we also have to teach kids some critical thinking, that when they ask why, take the opportunity to walk them through that process to really think about things. Am I off base there at all?
No.
No. So, I mean, I do agree with you that the schools are definitely lacking a lot of things, you know, when, not to age myself, but when I was in school, you know, we did have the home ec class, and then they actually taught us how to balance a checkbook, but they have went away from those things. But I think as leaders within our communities, as parents, we have to realize the things that the schools are not doing, and we have to do those things for our kids. And then you talked about the AR, I think it's accelerated reading. Mm-hmm. So we have something like, I remember that when I was in school and I wanted to read all the books so that I could get a free pizza. But now my kids do that, but it's also where they have to take a test at the end to see how much they comprehend. And then from there, then they're able to get the amount of points for those books. But the schools are really lacking nowadays, but I kind of feel for the schools as well because they don't have a lot of funding. And there's only so much that they can do because a lot of the parents are not putting forth the effort as well. So if the teachers have your kids and they're teaching them and then you're coming home and you're not even helping them with the homework, then they can only do so much. But there are skills that they can be teaching our kids to really help them with real life so that when they're out there that they're better equipped. And then as far as the whole why, I think there's kind of a stigma attached to questioning adults, you know, why are you asking why? So I think it's really healthy to ask why. They need to know why, and then they need to be able to make those critical decisions on their own, because I'm really hard on my kids about making those decisions because I won't always be there. And when I'm not there, I want you to be able to make an educated decision. And we're going to work through these things together so that when you do the decision, then you're going to be able to go, okay, think back. Well, when this happened last time, this is kind of what I did, and do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. I don't like to pick on the public school system too much, because again, we get back into a parenting issue with the public school system. I can't tell you the number of times that it's back in my day, if I got in trouble at school, the school whooped my butt. It wasn't no calling the parents and getting permission or anything. You know, that's just the way it was. Nowadays, kids get in trouble and then they call the parents and it's like, oh no, you can't whoop my child, or you can't discipline my child. You know, we'll handle that. Or, oh no, you can't put my kid in this class or that class, or my kid can't ride this specific bus. And the parents interject themselves so much into the mix that it really ties the school's hands in a way, I think, sometimes.
You know, I would like to address a couple of things. One, I agree with the very last point that was made, to a degree. Some of these adults now are a little weird. I don't know if I really want them physically discipline my kids. But I am married to an educator, so I get to hear about education all the time. And I'm married to an administrator, so I'm married to a principal. Okay, so I get to hear about this all the time, and she happens to be a reading specialist. So she was coming over, giving me nuggets in my ear based off hearing what you guys were saying.
Nice.
So one thing I didn't know, and I guess I was going to find out today, is that I am, I am blessed. I don't like the idea of accelerated reading without absorption and being able to retain and actually regurgitate the information. I'm not a fan of that. But I'm also spoiled as a parent because I have a professional educator with academia in my household. So my daughter is 7. And that little girl has already skipped a grade in school. She went from first grade to third grade. No reason to test out. She tested out as I think a fourth grader or something ridiculous. She this week through the AR program read 46,000 words and passed 16 proficiency tests.
Wow.
So to make sure that she absorbed, she read. The tests were directly related to the literature. So I can take that, and other parents that are fortunate enough can take that and be like, well, yeah, it can be done, but that's not everybody's story. And so I would still stop and say, you know, yes, my little girl is also reinforced to read at home. Like, she reads for fun. It's something, and her mom likes to naturally read. So they have that. But we have to take into account the students that don't, the students that aren't getting that reinforcement at home, the students that don't have that natural thing in them to do that. And I think that a lot of those kids can be left on the wayside. I also believe that, to Skip's point, she was talking about essentially reinforcing and giving kids the freedom to make decisions and to ask why and the question. Now, I don't disagree with anything she said, but Donovan, come here. I do think that, unfortunately, with kids nowadays, it's not even nowadays, it's just a natural balance. Like, I have a 13-year-old boy that's 5'8" and 145 pounds. Okay, wears a size 13 in shoe. So there has to be a certain level of discipline. Come over here, stand in this camera. Okay, that kid's 13 years old. He is allowed, when I say something you disagree with, just go ahead and say it, okay? Yes, are you allowed, if you were confused about something, to ask a question?
Yes.
Are you allowed to voice how you feel? Yes. Are you allowed to share your emotions?
Yes.
Okay, when we're going over things about life decisions, do we have those conversations?
Yes.
Is there anything you don't feel like you can talk to me about?
No.
Do I stop what I'm doing to have those discussions with you?
Yes.
Is there ever a given time that you're allowed to be disrespectful?
No.
Do you know the difference?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. So
beautiful. Beautiful.
I think there's a balance and an instillment of making sure that we don't have those. We don't build a culture of bratty kids that are just like, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? Mm-hmm. Nah, we're going to keep a little level edge around here. You can ask, but you have to articulate. So with him, if there is a follow-up question to any instruction that is given, whether it's from he's confused about something at school, he's confused about an order given at home, he's allowed to ask why with an explanation. Hey, this is confusing me for this reason. I'm just looking for clarity. That's how we teach him to talk, okay? So there is not a rebellious why. There is not a, well, why? I'm not taking out the trash tonight. Well, I told you to, but why should I have to do it? Like, we're not going to allow that kind of crap to happen. And I think that when, if you don't walk that fine line, that's even when your good kid, you know, your good kids get out there and they start having a problem with authority because everything is to be questioned. Like, who are you to talk to me? Kind of thing. So that's the way I like to balance it. But I do think that the AR program can be a little bit dangerous. I like to think of kids as a special little beings. And I think that the public education system, those teachers are underpaid. One, two, when you look at some of the conditions, and I know we're going to talk about our individual programs later, so I don't want to spoil that. But when you look at some of the conditions that a lot of these kids go through, and I myself came up in an inner city public school system where we had to share math books between 3 and 4 students. I know we didn't.
Wow.
We just hell. I remember my math teacher was a Indian lady, like from India, who didn't speak English. Like did not speak English, but somehow I got an A in that class, right? And I couldn't do algebra to save my life, but somehow I got an A. But I couldn't ask her any questions, and they do stuff to us like that all the time. So I actually had to transfer myself out of school. I forged all my documentation and went into a desegregation program to leave the city to go to the suburbs on a school bus just so I can get a valid education. And I think that those kind of things are still happening today, and we have to be careful about just pushing these kids through to meet some kind of stupid quota.
Anybody else want to follow up before we move on here? So yeah, Katie mentioned the projects. That's what we're going to get into now. And I'm going to remind everybody, if you got questions as we're moving on, especially on the projects, I think if we're going to get questions, that's going to be where. But want to kind of run it through and give a little idea. I want you to take as much time as you need, of course, but just curious, when, as related to youth, because Katie, I know you do a lot of stuff. Skip, you do too with families and adults and what have you, but you know, try to nail it down to the youth arena if you can, and just give us a rundown of the programs that you offer and what all you do. Skip, we'll start with you.
I do intro to pistol class, intro to rifle class, and basic firearm safety classes with kids. A lot of it is, I find that when I teach youth, because we have a lot of bullying going on in schools nowadays, right? And regardless of whether you're teaching a child or grown up, whatever, learning how to protect yourself and mastering a skill such as operating a firearm is very empowering, and it gives them a lot of confidence. So the classes that I do, it's not all about guns. You know, I'm mainly teaching them how to be confident, how to believe in themselves. And I do a lot of reinforcement. Like, look at you did such a great job. And they're like, oh, I did. And I also like to video them so that they can look back on this maybe a month from that class. And they can see, you know, in the beginning when I met Miss Skip, I couldn't lock this light to the rear. I didn't know how to do anything with this firearm. And then at the end of the class, I was able to accomplish this. And I've just seen attitudes change and really lives change as well.
Good stuff. Derek, I'll let you jump in with KidSafe Foundation. Give us a kind of an overview of that. You got a lot of different aspects of that.
Yeah, so we do a couple different things. So obviously we're a nonprofit. We're based in Oregon. And so we teach firearm safety and accident prevention to kids. We also follow up those classes on the range. So we're shooting rim fires. And so basically what we're doing is we're just teaching safe habits, teaching discipline and respect. And we also, you know, in our educational program, we're talking about, you know, video game violence. There's a huge problem there. We're also talking proper techniques with Nerf and airsoft guns. And we're also following up with the anti-bullying. What's happening here? Nothing in my head. It's everything static now. So, can you hear any of that?
Yeah,
Can you guys hear us?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Hey, Clover, there you go. So it's on Clover. You muted your mic, Clover. It went away. So, nope, mute your mic. We're still there.
All right.
Yep, there you go.
All right, Derek. So I'm back.
Derek, so tell us all about Kids Safe Foundation.
Tell you, okay. I would love to tell you about Kids Safe. So we've been doing this about 5 years. I'm an NRA certified firearms instructor, and then I started developing my own program. We've been a nonprofit for about 4 years now, reached about 17,000 kids in 4 states. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to, you know, growing the program. I'd love to do something with you, Katie, either your house or my house, and just to reach more kids and every kid, not just kids that look like my kids. And so that's the value of education is I'm starting to do our stuff in different languages as well. I'm doing Chinese, Japanese, Spanish, you know, Russian, you know, these are all types of education those kids don't even have access to. So that's what I'm trying to do, is reach as many as I can. So
17,000 is nothing to sneeze at, son.
No, I'm just getting started. So, man, I'm real blessed to have good friends like you guys. And so are we fixed? Are we whole now?
I don't know.
There you go. Yeah.
Good. Okay. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a duck issue or a mic issue, but thank you, KD, for taking over. Appreciate it.
Part of what we're doing is we do a lot of community outreach program stuff. And so, you know, we're real active. We're doing, you know, events in the community. We're doing parades. We're doing safety fairs. You know, anywhere there's going to be an MDA table, I'm going to be there. And so, you know, basically when they see us show up, they leave. And it's because we out hustle, we out educate, and we out outreach them. You know, we bring high energy octane. We're bringing snow cone machines and BB gun ranges, and they just go home, and it's amazing. And so, you know, one thing I can encourage all of you guys to do in your own little lanes, in your parts, is you know, be a face at those events where, you know, they're used to not having somebody that believes in our Second Amendment rights there, because they love that podium and that stage. And so, you know, when we show up, you know, they don't compete anymore. They go home, you know, because they don't want to see their kids coming over for free snow cones and learn how to shoot a BB gun. You know, obviously that's just my example, but you know, we can do this all over the country. And so that's how we're gonna roll these things back and show them that education truly is the solution to what our country faces right now.
Awesome stuff. Yehuda, let you jump in with your projects and how you approach the youth education.
So I like to bring. I'm a very firm believer that education starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously, Derek knows that I'm very supportive of him.
Great books.
KD and I hopefully are going to be working on some stuff together. Skip, we just met, but I have no doubts our paths will cross somewhere or another. But that said, I believe education starts at home. So my goal with all my books that I've written specifically for children is not just to educate them on
You got NSA'd, I believe.
Skynet.
It's that good DFW internet. Apparently.
Yeah, right.
There he is.
One also thing that I'm very passionate about is just the Second Amendment as a whole. And like my book, 27 Words, that you know you've all seen, is that it's a book that breaks down the 27 words of the Second Amendment for children. Because if you don't teach children to appreciate the freedoms that we have and the Second Amendment protecting those freedoms, then in 15, 20 years from now, doesn't make a difference how John Wick they become. They're not going to appreciate the freedom. So I'm very into bringing the education into the homes where parents can sit with their children, or the child could read the book by themselves and really advance their knowledge on firearm safety, firearms education, Second Amendment information, and, you know, be the future leaders.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you said that, you know, that it starts at home. Yeah, with what you're doing with those books. I mean, that truly is. That's something that's in the home, from the coffee table book to the, you know, read it at bedtime book to whatever it might be. And I can just speak for, I've got nieces and nephews that, you know, I've given your books to, you know, them. So, and they love them. Katie, going to bring you in. I know you you deal a lot with family and stuff like that too, kind of in the almost in the same capacity a little bit as Skip. But go ahead and give us a rundown of, you know, is it actually a part of Aiming for the Truth with your youth stuff, or is that kind of an offshoot?
Aiming for the Truth is where we primarily focus on the youth and families in general. Now, No Other Choice and Aiming for the Truth do cross when it comes to a lot of things. But when it comes down to kids and firearms, the two definitely do a lot of crossing there. So, yeah, we do all the stuff everybody says they do. We do. We teach kids how to shoot. I have not taught 17,000 kids how to shoot, so I gotta step those numbers up. But we definitely get out there and teach kids how to shoot. And it's always fun. It's more of a, I use the firearm as a tool of responsibility. And when it comes to young kids, it's about being a tool of, I like to just show examples. Donovan, it's a tool of responsibility. When it's presented to certain kids in certain ways, sometimes it's just about, hey, being responsible. And then when I get certain kids, I use it in more of a way like, hey, if you you touch an illegal one on the streets, you'll never get to shoot all these cool ones over here. So whatever I got to do with it to get it done, stand by. And then when it comes to the families are, and as far as dealing with the children, I start with the adults. I try to make sure that the adults are healed and cured in many different ways. That way they are leading generations the right way. So putting dads back into the life for their kids, because the kids benefit from that. Being a pillar, I adopt a classroom every year, or I have a presence at a school every year where they see me. They know me when they see me walking around. I am that positive male reinforcement. I'm not there being an authority figure, but the kids immediately understand like, oh, that's Mr. Dixie. But they don't disrespect me. It's a certain balance they understand that exists. We have a good time. We party. And just for the kids can be able to say like, hey, there are men out there, especially if they're lacking that kind of leadership in their life. There are men out there that really care about us, that are really nice, that will really come listen to our problems. I mean, I've sat in those schools and listened to some horror stories sometimes. We'll do different things through Aiming for the Truth where, you know, we've fed families, clothed them. Got the kids what they need to go to school. Some of these kids don't have shoes. And then when a kid comes to school without something as simple as that, we know how kids are. They're going to tease you. They're going to talk about you, right? They're going to give each other a hard time. So if I can help, A, help you out in your life, and then B, help you not have to deal with those distractions where you can focus on your education, that's great as well. We also try to get with the teachers to ask them what they need. Like, what do you need? Is it that you're out of pencils this year? Do you need a classroom pet? You know, what isn't the school providing for you? Because I understand that a lot of teachers go in their own pockets to try to get certain things for the kids. So trying to help the teachers out as well, because they're obviously the adult you're going to leave with your kids for 8 hours. So what can we do to help them? I even go into daycare centers where the kids are really too young to be doing much of anything. But I go there to still interact with them, talk to them. And I found out a while ago, you'll be amazed how aware a four-year-old is of a gun. Like, it was absolutely astonishing to me when I first started doing it. So just having those conversations, teach them how to be responsible and making sure that we're building great adults from the ground up, and also getting these kids out of their normal environments, introducing them to things that are a little bit different. If you got a kid that's never heard of the Boy Scouts, introduce them to the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. Get them outside of their norm. Get them out fishing. Get them out doing things that are fun. Make your kids play sports. You know, and I don't do it because I want a pro athlete. I do it because it teaches teamwork. It teaches health. You have to overcome obstacles. You have to deal with challenges. You know, you can't quit. So it instills value in our culture. So all those different things. So, you know, we get involved in all this stuff. But speaking of guns, come here. How many, I'm interested to see if you can get this right. How many firearms do you own?
Four?
Correct. Four guns. So let me ask you a question. How long have you been shooting? About 7 years now?
Yes.
Okay, about 7 years. So what are guns for?
Protecting others. Speak up. So protecting others or ourselves.
Do we use them as tools of bullying?
No.
Harassment?
No.
Matter of fact, what is my rule about us bullying other people?
If you do that, you'll get bullied.
How were you handled when you went through, and this is a couple of years ago, but how were you handled at home when you went through your bullying phase?
I don't remember.
Y'all remember being bullied at home?
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. So he bullied at school and I bullied him at home. Let me ask you this other question when it comes to firearms. Firearms, are they meant to protect who we are, or intimidate others?
Protect who we are.
Do we have an extra responsibility when we carry firearms?
Yes.
Do we change who we are when we have a gun on us? Do we become extra tough?
No.
Have you ever seen your dad bully somebody with a gun?
No.
How many guns I got? Exactly. And final question, and this is a big one. As a future leader of this world, when you are educating people about whatever in life, but when it comes down to guns, and you have somebody walk up to you and ask you, what is a gun for? What's going to be your response?
For your protection or the people you're trying to protect.
Period, right?
Period.
Do they keep us free?
Yes.
Do we need to understand what that freedom entails?
Yes.
You my man? I'll let you.
Here you go.
So, you know, in educating, I like to say educating around a gun has a lot to do with, you know, the fun stuff, right? Hey, shoot the gun, see the hole, you know, stuff like that. But we have, especially me and that young man, we have a lot of conversations about the responsibility and protection of family, who we are, how guns don't change us, but they actually amplify the good in us, because we can understand by amplifying the good, we can see the evil in others really, really quick. So he has a very keen understanding, as do the other kids that I work with, a very keen understanding that we are fighting to be good people, and guns are only used in a case that somebody deprives us of that freedom. And that's it. And then it's sport and it's fun and he gets to run around, but I preach a lot, so he has to get the extra.
Right. That's just the that's the price he has to pay. I get it. So yeah, me going after KD is gonna be cool, because some of what I've got to talk about is follow up. You talk about KD, you talked about the getting out of your comfort zone and you know, diversity in projects and that sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. I come from a 4-H shooting sports background, but not just a shooting sports background, but 4-H in general, actually. And so with those that might not be familiar with that, anything and everything under the sun, and this is what's cool and kind of leads into maybe our next little segment we're going to touch on real quick, hopefully here, is what you can do out there as a volunteer and get involved in your community. And with something like 4-H, you can do whatever you're passionate about, whatever you're good at, whatever you can teach kids to do, whether that's cooking or fishing or shooting sports or robotics or computer programming or whatever it might be. I mean, the sky is pretty much the limit. Obviously, when people think of 4-H, they think of animals a lot of times, raising the chickens and the goats and the cattle and the other things, and that's part of it. But the way that the program is set up is designed to take that activity, whatever it might be, to maybe get kids out of their comfort zone, maybe to teach kids, get them involved into a different skill set or something like that. But to instill those values, right, and those principles that we want in good, well-rounded future citizens. Well, I guess they're citizens now, but of the country. So, with shooting sports in general, I mean, one thing I want to talk about before we move on that I think is unique and something that people need to understand. And I'm not even close to the wealthiest person in the county here, and live in a pretty poor county. So, but I'm not at the bottom either. And I mentioned that to say that my youngest daughter got a 5-year college ride pretty much through 4-H. And so I mentioned that not to brag, because that's her accomplishment more than anything. I mentioned that to say that.
Pause. You a damn fool if you don't.
Okay. Well, I mean, there was a lot of gas and travel and a lot of stuff involved.
So you take that as an accomplishment, bro.
We got it. But anyway, my point in that is that that could be a life-changing situation. I mean, I don't know how we would have pulled off. She was definitely wanted to go and had her college picked out since junior high and all this other stuff, and definitely made the grades. She stuck to it. She worked hard. She did other things. So she was definitely deserving of that. But that was an avenue that made it easier for us to do that. I know a lot of people across the country may be in the same situation. And so I say that because a lot of these programs out there, 4-H included, there's stuff with Boy Scouts, there's stuff with multiple programs that are out there that offer scholarship opportunities for those kids that do want to pursue a higher education or maybe even trade school in a lot of circumstances. I've seen, for example, in the 4-H program, I've seen stuff with, for example, building trailers and stuff like that. There's a marketable skill for welding, and good gravy. If you've ever, you know, looked at some of the paychecks that these pipeliners and other folks make, that's not a 4-year degree or anything like that. But the jobs in demand, those people make really good money. And so that can definitely help lift you out of a certain situation. So, you know, I encourage folks out there to look into that, not only look into that for yourself and your family and your loved ones and people in your community that might be looking for those types of programs, but also start one, right? Get out there, get involved, because that's part of what we're talking about here is being involved in the ground and in the on the ground and in the communities, and actually being an example for these kiddos out there. I want to shift gears here at the end. We've got a few minutes left, and I don't think this will take a lot of time, but I wanted to talk about, obviously, between the five of us, and then there's several other people that come to mind that are obviously doing things with different programs and stuff with kids out there. I think we've got the majority of the bases covered, because I think that there's not that many bases, quite honestly. I mean, it boils down to things we've talked about with parents and instilling those values and things like that. I'm just going to kind of open this up. I want anybody on the panel here to jump in on this particular topic, but do you see potentially a niche or something out there that maybe we're not addressing, that you don't see anybody out there with a program or something set up to address a specific issue when it comes to youth in this country?
Is it again pertaining to firearms or just in general?
Just in general, yeah. That's a good one, because
I'd love to see more kids that be the counters to the David Hogg. I think we need more of our kids to be that voice, you know, because right now our kids, we have great kids that are leaders like your son, Katie. They need that platform. They need that microphone, because they're the ones that can actually show that what is being said by the other side is not entirely correct, and it's used to, you know, further an agenda, in which, you know, silences our kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we need a proper, you know, just like the tip. I mean, my view, the tip of the spear is women and good kids. And when we're talking about advocacy for our Second Amendment rights, it's putting, you know, women and children, and let them have that stage for a moment. Mm-hmm. And see how far they can move that football for us.
Hmm. And
I'm gonna agree and disagree with Derek on that. They can't just be women and children, and I'll tell you why.
No, we protect the queens.
No, I understand that, but for years, you know, the media painted gun owners as fat white guys with big beards, mm-hmm. missing teeth, and a bunch of rednecks. But hell. I mean, KD, I was with you Saturday night at GRPC, man. If that's not what the Second Amendment world is, if that's not what the gun industry was at Carrie's
Airbnb, yeah, Airbnb, party, yeah.
That, I don't know what is. I mean, you had an Orthodox Jew, a couple black guys, a gay Asian, a couple transgender. I mean, not a couple white guys. I mean, if that's not what the Second Amendment industry is today, I don't know what is. And it's not just that we have to let women and children be our the spearhead, as Derek said. I mean, everybody needs to be the spearhead, no matter what your background is. Even the old fat white guys need have their place in the industry. And I think that just to say, you know, let's have just this one small group, although women are the largest growing demographic in the firearms industry, but to have only one niche of the Second Amendment world, you know, give them their time, I think that's a very dangerous game to play when you have. I know what you were saying, but I'm saying, like, we have so much, I'll just say, ammo out there with such amazing 2A leaders like KD and mm-hmm. and, you know, all the other people we were there. I mean, we got to get more people involved in the advocacy side, mm-hmm. not just the shooting side. And that's where I think the key is, because if you can get more people, I mean, look at all the people in the competition shooting Can you imagine if they use their celebrity status, their ability to say, look, you know what? You can't, you know, you ban bump stocks. Yeah, none of us use them. But what happens if they come after binary triggers? What happens if they come after Geissele triggers? Because, hell, it helps us shoot better. It helps us go faster. Well, they're not saying anything. And there's so many people out there, no matter what, you know, where you're coming from, doesn't make a difference. Your sexual preference, your religion, the color of your skin, none of that makes a difference. We all have to band together and we all have to have one voice.
Mm-hmm. Skip, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I just wanted to add really quick. I can see what Yehuda's saying, but I really lean towards what Derek's saying because I know there's so many women who don't want to be a part of the Second Amendment community due to the overwhelming amount of stereotypical white males who are very overbearing. And so if we're able to get more women into this, and women are, not to say the head of their households, right, but they're making a lot of those decisions. Mm-hmm. And when you reach out to some men about them interacting more with firearms, they're saying, well, my wife doesn't want this, or they're having to sneak things because of their wife. So if we were able to actually get more women representatives out there so that women can see, oh, if she's doing it, then I can do it. And I have women tell me all the time, well, I don't own a gun because of my kids. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just like you. I'm a wife and I'm a mother and I have two kids. And this is why I have guns, to protect my family. But there's not a lot of positive representation out there for women or mothers. So you're not really going to want to join a community where you can't see yourself represented. Not a lot of people. So I took it upon myself to insert myself and be that person, but not everybody's like that. So there's some people who just don't want to become a part of it because of what the known face of it is, which isn't really the face of it. We should all be a part of the face of the 2A community. But I think really getting more women out there and more women who are positive about it, you know, more women who can speak to it and encourage people versus just go off on people.
I agree completely with what you're saying, Skip. What I was saying is there shouldn't be one demographic spearheading it. That's all I was saying. Hell, I'm friends with Robin Sandoval of A Girl and a Gun, very close with her, and I have a lot of other female friends in the industry who are truly leading the charge. My whole point was that to rely solely on one demographic is the wrong approach. Mm-hmm. I think what you said is spot on. I think that needs to change. My point again, there's so many diverse people in this industry that if we all do come together as one voice, we would be a lot more powerful versus having one demographic leading the spearhead.
I want to bring it back around with something that Derek talked about that aggravates me to no end. I'm going to admonish the chat and the people out there watching in replay just a little bit. So you're fixing to get a chew in just a little bit. Be prepared for this. Something that aggravates me. And I think it speaks to a lot of what we're talking about when Derek says that he'd like to see more out there. When we talk about media coverage on things, and there's all these things we talk about. KD, for example, you were in – that was Time Magazine, right, KD?
Mm-hmm.
That issue that you were in. Mia Farinelli in there as well. Youth shooting sports champion, you know, whatever. Awesome. Had her on the first season of The Next Generation, as a matter of fact. Where was that? Where was anybody talking about this youth shooting sports competitor in Time Magazine? Where is everybody talking about KD's aiming for the truth? Where's anybody talking about what Maj is doing? Where's anybody talking about Yehuda's new book? But just the second that Dick's Sporting Goods or Walmart decides they're going to do something, that's all you hear about. And that aggravates me to no end. I don't have a problem if you want to perpetuate and disseminate that type of information. I think that 2A related news, I mean, it's important to get it around, whatever. It may be a little negative. That's fine. But let's have at least a healthy balance. Let's at least, for every negative 2A thing that you put out, go find something positive and put that out as well. Because I think that's part of the issue, is the negative is so enticing. I get it. It's human nature. I understand it. It's just that way. Believing the worst and preparing for the worst and all this other stuff, I get it. It's that gloom and doom attitude. I totally understand it. And that sells. That's why we have the huge news media conglomerates we have nowadays. If it bleeds, it leads, whatever the saying is that they use with the negativity. But let's try to be a little more balanced. So the next time that you run across that post, next time you run across something that's out there that is, you know, this senator said this or this candidate said that, or this state's doing this, go find a positive article. Find a local program that's doing good in a community somewhere. Go find a youth shooting sports champion or something like that that's doing great things. Heck, even it doesn't even have to be 2A related. Just share some good news in the world.
I agree with that.
I agree. Yeah.
I got nothing.
I didn't mean the mic drop, but yeah, I had to show KD up because he mics drop all the time. There we go. So yeah, we're gonna close it out. We're after our time. I didn't want to run too terribly long here. I've enjoyed the conversation. So first of all, thanks to all those out there in the chat, and if you're watching, listening, and replay, whatever it might be, remember comments are always below. And if you have a question for anybody on the panel, I'll make sure and forward that question over, do what I got to do to get it answered. So definitely follow up if you have questions. We want more people out there, like I said, perpetuating the positive, being involved in the community, crushing those stereotypes, and most of all, educating the youth that is our next generation. So I'm going to run this through the panel, because even though we talked about some of the programs, we didn't get really deep into detail on everything that was done. So I want my panel to give out that contact information. How do you get a hold of you? Where do they look at the stuff you're doing? Follow to be able to share that positive.
You might do that thing again, man.
All right, well, guys, I will let you know where you can follow me. I am Avery at Skip's Tactical Solutions. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube at Skip's Tactical Solutions, and I would love for you guys to reach out.
Muted. All right, give that again. There was a little echo in the background. Mute it. There you go.
All right, so I'm Avery with Skip's Tactical Solutions. Feel free to hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. All of my handles are Skip's Tactical Solutions, and I would love to talk to you guys.
Cool. Yehuda, you got anything you want to say to the people? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can find me at The Pew Pew Jew on all my social media. My books are available on Amazon. If you think my John Hancock is worth all $10, feel free to get signed copies from thepewpewjew.com. And definitely reach out to me at any time. I'm pretty available and always ready to talk.
Am I back?
You are back.
Awesome. Thank you again, KD. My co-host. Applause for my co-host tonight.
Okay.
Did a great job. Who hasn't went? Derek, are you up?
I'll go. I'm Derek with the Kids Safe Foundation. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Also find us on our website, kidsafefoundation.org.
Awesome stuff. Katie, bring it home, bro.
All right, man. I'm Kevin Dixie, known as Katie. You can find me at The Real NOC on all your social media platforms. Also, Kevin Dixie, that's D as in dog, IXIE. On all your social media platforms, including YouTube, reach out. I love to chat.
Hey, awesome. Chloe, can I just give KD a big shout out, though?
Sure.
Whatever. Yeah. One thing KD is doing, and I don't know, KD, I don't know if it's over or if you're still taking donations, but KD is taking a group of, 60 or 70 kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing it up.
We got to throw that out there, brother, because that's freaking awesome what you're doing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, so like I was saying before, you know, I try to do things in a different way. Part of what we do in this whole arena of what we do in various ways is education, right, in different forms. And so I am a civil rights advocate. That is a part of what I do. And I am going, there's a Hollywood movie coming out that I'm going to screen. Don't you worry about that. But it's about, it's called Harriet. It comes out early November, and it's about Harriet Tubman. And it's talking about the fight for freedom that she went through and that she was one of the pioneers and leaders of. So instead of just going to watch the movie for myself, because I'm a big history buff, I'm actually taking close to 60 children, and I'm linking up with a couple of adults, taking some adults that I trust, and we're going to take them to go to a private screening of that movie. We already got the theater. It's a private screening, just us in there. And we're going to let them watch that movie, and then we're going to take them about 10 miles away to a local rec center and do a kind of debrief event luncheon, if you will, where I'm going to have other adults I trust all sit in small groups, eat with the kids and help them digest what they've seen. And then we're going to have some conversation with them, some speakers and things like that, just to encourage these kids about what their rights are, where they come from, and why freedom is so important to fight for. So if you would like to help out with things like that, thank you so much, Yehuda, for reminding me. We are taking donations to make it better for the kids. And big, while I'm saying it, big thanks to you, Yehuda, and everybody that was at that event. Walk the Talk America came through. Firearms Policy Coalition came through huge. Both of those organizations and individuals associated with. But you can go to GoFundMe/AimingForTheTruth. GoFundMe/AimingForTheTruth. So those are the kind of things that we are doing. And thank you so much for that. And that is going to be on November 23rd is when we're actually taking the kids to the movie.
Now, do you know if that's a, is that a national release on that film?
Yeah, it's a blockbuster release. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Good deal. That sounds interesting for anybody that's into history and all that kind of stuff. So good stuff. That's it. As far as me, you're here, you're watching, you're listening. You know where to find me, GloberTech.com. That's it. Thank you. Probably will be no more Next Generation podcast until the summer of 2020 when we kick back off with our youth shooting sports kiddos and all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll see you sometime next year. Peace.
Thank you. (Clears throat)